On last week's episode of This Paranormal Life, it's 1931 on the Isle of Man. On a hill lay a farmhouse, home to the Irving family. One night, by the light of lamp, they heard scratching. It sounded like it was coming from behind the walls. The Irvings looked at each other and summoned the courage to ask, "Who are you?" The creature said its name was Jeff. Jeff said that he was a mongoose.
"I'll split the atom. I am the fifth dimension. I am the eighth wonder of the world. You don't know what damage or harm I could do if I were roused. I could kill you all, but I won't."
Welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the podcast where every week we dissect a different paranormal tale, claim, or case and get to the bottom of whether it is true or whether it is false. You are being joined by myself, Kit Greer, this guy, Rory Pars.
Hello, hello.
And you're actually tuning in to part two of a two-part series on a paranormal mongoose called Jeff. If that doesn't make sense to you,
get the fuck out, because you obviously didn't listen to the first part. You're obviously not a fan of the show.
Not welcome.
And we take that personally. So if you don't know what that is, get out. If you do, welcome back, brother.
Listen, if you like your stories to make sense, I highly recommend going back to episode one. It might not even make sense.
I highly recommend going to the next town, because you're not welcome here.
You're really doubling down on this, like hating on the people who missed the last episode.
It's easier to make enemies than friends. I've learned that in life.
Right. Bad outlook.
You just made an enemy for life.
Wow.
Asshole.
So last week we heard all about the Irving family in the Isle of Man and discovered Jeff, the mongoose. We knew that Jeff had been, to say the least, kind of a weird anti-hero. Whilst he helped the family on occasion, leading them to believe that he was friendly, he also did mean stuff that made them question his motives. It started off small. One day Jim, the man of the house, took too long to open the morning paper, and Jeff yelled,
"Read it out loud, you fat-headed gnome!"
Another time, Jeff apparently just started groaning loudly for 30 straight minutes.
Good lord.
Just to annoy the family.
I think at this point, I mean, you refer to him as an anti-hero, and I think he's probably doing more on the negative side than the plus sides at this point.
It's a little bit of a grandiose title.
Right.
He's more of a dickling, probably.
Yeah, that's a fair classification.
Yeah, I think to be fair, most of the things that he's doing that are good, like apparently putting out fires that people forget to...
Yeah, who started them, Jeff?
Fires go out on their own. That's not like a massive deal.
True.
You know, protecting against intruders. They live on a farm in the Isle of Man. There's kind of a finite number of people that even live on the goddamn island,
yeah.
Let alone violent intruders that a mongoose is going to scare away.
He killed and brought them a rabbit, the pet family rabbit. It was just eating a bit of lettuce.
Thumper.
In the garden. Thumper,
He just looked at him funny and Jeff flipped.
"I brought in dinner. It's Thumper. I took off his head."
Voyeur, the child screaming, crying.
"Ah, shut up, bitch."
I feel like this is on Jim to be a little more like...
Dad squad. You know, when you're a father, there's nothing more important than the safety of your child. As a father, I know that more than anyone. And
you're
I know,
a father?
Yeah, three children.
Really?
Yeah, let's move past that though.
Fine.
I know if keeping them safe means... sneaking out one morning, getting the F out of H, and never looking back, that's what you have to do.
Right, so that would explain why I've never heard of them or seen them. So,
yeah, it's okay, for their own safety.
Yeah, because actually most nights you're just like chilling playing video games, so I know you're not looking after them in the evenings.
No,
they're somewhere else.
They're somewhere else.
Just to clarify, they're not, whenever you say they're somewhere else, they're not like in heaven or something like that.
No.
You think they're still alive, fine. Good parenting.
Those guys? If they are going anywhere, it's straight to hell.
The way they treated their old man. Just imagining Rory at the sprightly age of 16, a father of three for some reason, with tiny reading glasses on, and a toddler coming up, slapping the morning paper out of his hand.
Hey, come on!
No authority whatsoever.
Just because I'm the devil doesn't mean I'm raising demons.
So, like I say, doing a few kind of mean little dickling things around the house. But as we discussed, it eventually got pretty dark. Needless to say, word soon got out about Jeff. And you know, it's a small island. It wasn't long until local press started covering the story. Suddenly everyone's reading about it. Naturally, this causes Voiri to get the shit bullied out of her at school. Kids truly can be so cruel. you can imagine. You know, your mongoose loving piece of
goddamn, she obviously doesn't love the mongoose.
That's the kind of things kids said to me at school, at least.
I mean, that would be the most annoying thing, is if people were like, you mongoose loving son. It's like, at least if you're going to make fun of me, know that I hate the mongoose. Like, it's in my house, but I hate the mongoose. It's like, yeah, you do whatever it takes to protect your beloved mongoose, wouldn't you? Look at this. Lifts up her top. Mongoose scratches. It hates me. I hate it.
But rather than fizzle out into obscurity, the press didn't subside at all. Eventually, the word reached the rest of the UK and other publications as far away as Hong Kong.
Wow.
Not to mention magazines and journals about the paranormal all over the world. They were puzzled that Jeff seemed to be a paranormal being cast into the world of matter, but all he seemed to do was gossip about people on the island and annoy the Irving family. Like, he didn't talk about the spirit world at all.
Right, which I assume is pretty banging. It seems weird to die, be removed from this life, enter a new world, realm, come back, and all you want to do is, like, put out fires and kill rabbits.
Yeah. It's sort of suspicious. I don't know, like, you know, you have a friend that like, goes on holiday, and they're just like, dude, whenever I go, I'm going to go to all the coolest clubs. I'm going to meet all the hottest chicks. And you're like, yeah, cool. I'm excited for you. And then, anyway, they go on holiday, they come back, and you're like, oh, hey, how was holiday? How were the clubs? And they're like, crazy. They were just so wild. Can't even describe it,
we
honestly.
We got bottle service at, like, three of them.
To make the models nervous.
Yeah. I met out with this really hot girl, but she goes to a different school, so you wouldn't know her.
Oh, really? You don't have, like, a photo that you
could
show me?
She didn't have Facebook. I already asked, so don't even ask me about it, because she doesn't have it.
What's her name?
Clarissa.
Clarissa. Okay. Last name?
Malevolent.
Malevolent? Like the movie? Malevolent?
Clarissa Lion King Malevolent. Don't try and look her up, because she doesn't have Facebook.
Her sister? Frozen Hercules. So I guess what I'm saying is, if he had actually been there, I feel like he would have more to say.
Absolutely.
I think he said that whenever he died, he would go to the land of mist. He mentioned something about being the fifth dimension. He kind of gave vague hints about the afterlife or other dimensions.
I don't want to jump to conclusions, but none of that sounds like heaven. That's all I'm saying. None of that ever sounds like he was in heaven when he died.
Right.
The land of mist, the fifth dimension.
So, Jeff.
Yeah.
Whenever you were, you know, on the other side, who did you, like, hang out with?
Nixon, Hussein, Bin Laden. Okay. Weird group there to be up at the...
just interested. Guys with interesting stories to tell, you know.
Bad stories, though. Not good ones.
Important figures in history, you know?
Yeah, the wrong side of history, though. What were the gates like? Those were the pearly gates.
I don't know. Spiky, hot.
Hot?
Yeah, hot. Steaming, gassy. It didn't smell very good.
What, the clouds didn't?
Sort of sulfurous, I suppose.
Right. Did you see Jesus up there?
No, didn't see him. Didn't ask, I have to say.
Hitler dominated most of the conversation. Didn't get a chance to ask for Jesus. I want to nip this in the bud. When you died, did you go up or down?
It's hard to tell.
It shouldn't
sort of
be.
Spinning.
They're opposite directions.
Slightly downwards, I suppose.
That's, even if it was slightly downwards, that's the wrong way. You said slightly and spinning.
I saw the light, though.
What light?
Fading into the distance.
I did see the light. What light? Fire? Okay. That's hell, buddy. You're in hell.
You know, I saw the fiery gates. The fiery gates everyone always talks about.
You mean the pearly gates?
Sure.
All this press had a positive effect, though, because this drew the attention of the paranormal investigator community. That's right. The goddamn underground army of heroes that keeps the sheeple safe at night.
That's right.
Well, one investigator, Harry Price, visited the Irvings to try and meet Jeff, accompanied by one editor from the BBC. I feel like we've covered actually quite a number of stories where, like, BBC have been involved.
Knows their way in.
I guess the standard of journalism has gone down in recent years, because
Absolutely. Every
time I load up bbc.com/paranormal, I always hit a 404. It's like they don't want to talk about it.
Ridiculous.
The two guys said, quote, The Irvings were kindness personified and did everything for us, except produce Jeff. You see, the Irvings showed the man around, but Jeff pointedly refused to show up and even say one word. They were told absolutely everything about him, and days passed, but eventually they just had to leave, empty-handed. Obviously, the Irvings were completely embarrassed, but no sooner had they left than Jeff returned. Jim goes, "Where the hell have you been?" Jeff said he had been on holiday for a few days and didn't want to do anything to help the Harry Price guy because he was, quote, a doubter.
Oh, God.
But Jim leveled with him. He said, "Look, Harry left some plasticine here. Just make some paw prints for him, will you? That way he can prove to the world that you exist."
No.
You see, Jeff had apparently always been bragging about his hands. He said,
what?
Quote, that he had hands as big as big doll's hands.
That's nothing to brag about. That's very small hands. He couldn't even be more creative than just big doll hands. Regular mongoose, tiny hands. Me, it's like twice the size of a fucking action man.
What's so tiny?
Such tiny. It's like a thumbnail.
Listen, I've beaten Barbie's Ken doll year after year in an arm wrestling match.
You want a high five from me? I'll probably blow your goddamn hand off. Listen to this. I'm going to hit the wall. You feel the force of the thunder?
If I had tiny hands, could I do this?
What was that?
Was that a clap?
I just punched the wall.
I think I broke my giant doll-sized hands.
But, unbelievably, Jeff agreed to do these paw prints. So they left the plasticine with him, waiting patiently. Initially, he complained,
"It's too damned hard. I can't do it."
They drop out like a little pot of Play-Doh and they're like, "All right, just do your paw prints here."
No. You're gonna need about 50 of these bad boys to fit these cannons.
So eventually they softened up the plasticine for him so that he could make the prints. Presumably he slid these out and the tiniest pinprick sized paw prints were there. But finally, evidence. So, I can actually show you these paw prints.
No, you can't.
I can. It's actually quite a tiny f***ing image, so I'm going to have to squint. But here are the paw prints.
Oh, wow, okay.
So imagine you're an investigator getting sent these.
They look very different from each other.
Yeah, I don't really know what that's about.
One is almost like long fingers, and the other one is like an actual cat paw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, those little beans? Like cats have.
Right, yeah,
on their feet.
Beans.
That's what that one looks like. I mean, I've got nothing to scale it. I don't know what size these are.
There is actually a scale there, but I can't. It's too small. Like, it's too pixelated.
Presumably, these are microscopic.
Presumably, it's a nanometer scale.
But they do exist.
They certainly exist. This is, you know, an investigator with the BBC got his hands on plasticine clay prints of Jeff's paws.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and trust the BBC, the freaking Ben Bincack, as I call him.
What?
MIBs.
So the prints got sent off to none other than the Natural History Museum in London, to Mr. Reginald Pocock, to see if he could identify the beast.
He sounds smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know what a Reginald is. Is that above captain or lower?
I think it's on par with lieutenant.
Right, cool.
So pretty up there. What a Pocock is anyone's guess, though.
No idea.
And to their shock, when they heard back from Mr. Pocock, he said that the prints, quote, could not be traced to any known animal. But as a caveat, he said they could conceivably have been made by a dog. Kind of a contradiction there. There is no known mammal in which there is such a disparity in the size of the fore and hind foot, Pocock wrote to Price.
Did he just say it could have been a dog?
I do not believe these photographs represent foot tracks at all. Most certainly none of them was made by a mongoose.
Basically, what you're seeing in that image, which you guys can check out in the Patreon show notes, the difference in size between these two is apparently the forepaws and the hind paws.
Okay.
And basically one set is like a f***ing quarter of the size of the other.
Yeah.
And as Mr. Pocock has pointed out, there's no animal on Earth that happens with.
that there's that much
certainly
of a
not
level
among
of
us.
Difference. Yeah, that is ridiculous. That's like centaur level of difference. Hands and hooves.
Yeah, he has the forepaws of a doll and the hind paws of a even smaller doll.
Yeah.
So this evidence was inconclusive so far, basically. But luckily, there was more than where that came from. After all, Jeff isn't going anywhere. This isn't like some of the other cases we've studied where there's like a one-off incident where maybe you're left with a, you know, paw print, like Bigfoot print lying around. And then if that's inconclusive, good luck to you.
Yeah.
That's it. Case closed. Jeff is just probably like hanging out back at the house, like yelling insults at Jim at this point. So they went back and said, Jeff, we need something more. We need anything at all. A hair sample. And before long, he complied.
My hair's twice as sturdy as doll hair. I'm like a goddamn Malibu Barbie, fresh out the box.
All your references are to do with doll. You know that Malibu Barbie went to hell.
Oh, 100% she went to hell.
Malibu Barbie had so many dark cocaine-fueled parties in her Malibu lifestyle that she absolutely went to hell.
Every one of her clothing items were made in the most horrific sweatshops imaginable.
I think she was emotionally abusive to Ken, probably.
Oh, yeah. And he's in hell, too. For sure.
I think it was for dog fighting or something. That piece of shit. Yeah, but he complied. So they found, basically, a tuft of hair. A tiny, tiny tuft of hair lying on the mantelpiece one day. Jeff yelled,
I pulled it from my eyebrow, and my God, did it hurt!
Jesus! There's gotta be a better way to do that.
Yeah, than your eyebrow.
You're ripping it from your eyes?
Imagine you were at the doctor's.
We need a quick DNA sample. I'm just gonna go get a swab. They like turn around for 1 second, come back. You got a scalpel and you're like, I cut blood from my nutsack. Why did you go? Why did
the
you go
straight?
The purest
blood of all. Nutsack
blood. Man's
blood.
You wanted my DNA, right? That's where I keep it.
Because the longer that it's running around your body, the more womanly it gets, because it's further from the source. So it's not really mine, is it?
The doctor's like, are you pissing right now? A backup, if you need that too. You missed it. You missed the cup completely. You've just pissed all over the floor. I'm woozy from the nutsack wound.
Doctor's like, yeah, we're just going to take a quick sample. He's just typing into his computer. He hears, turns around and you're ripping off each toenail with a set of pliers. Oh, Jesus Christ, stop it. I meant like hair sample.
This is bad. Get me a doctor. I am a doctor. You don't know what's happening.
So now, because they wasted the Natural History Museum's precious time with the paw prints, they had to go somewhere else to get this hair checked out.
You burnt your bridges.
Pocock's not picking up the phone anymore.
No.
They turned to naturalist F. Martin Duncan, and Duncan got back with this letter. I've carefully examined the hair microscopically and compared them with hairs of known origin. As a result, I can definitely state that the specimen hairs never grew upon a mongoose, nor are they those of a rat, rabbit, hare, squirrel, or other rodent. I'm inclined to think that these hairs have probably been taken from a dog.
Okay, so we've got one set of paw prints that could have possibly come from a dog. We've got a hair sample now that is most likely taken from a dog.
So there was just one thing left to do. Get a sample from the Irving's sheepdog, Mona, and send it to Duncan too. So, you know, CSI style goddamn microscope montage ensues. He actually writes up this very textbook looking study comparing the different hair samples between Jeff and Mona the dog.
I didn't know that there were so many people out there in the educational institutions that would be so willing to just take on any claim or case. I mean, they just approached two people and he's like, yeah, you got a ghost mongoose in the walls? I was like, I'll get in on that action.
Yeah, it was a beautiful time of open-mindedness. You know, I tried to call up the Natural History Museum today.
Yeah.
I get redirected to the police because they say you have to stop calling. You've no right to bother these people.
Stop sending hair in the mail.
Yeah, it's abusive.
Yep.
Yeah, you're sending your own bloody nutsack hair to strangers who don't want it.
Which is the wording, is this okay? They're not doctors. They don't know that.
Is this paranormal? scrawled on a piece of paper also got blood on it.
But you're right. This was at the perfect time in history.
Yeah.
Where open-mindedness and ignorance crossed at the perfect point.
That's what I call the goddamn second enlightenment.
Yeah. Now
it was the peak of ignorance. The graph reached an all-time high.
Where anything was possible. It was the goddamn flower year, you know? I don't know a lot about the 60s and 70s, but I think it was just acoustic music, Woodstock, people banging each other in fields, Age of Aquarius, all that stuff. Nowadays, people are too lazy, too tired, and too smart to actually do anything about it.
You see, these days, it's all a bunch of, peace, love, and hippies.
Absolutely.
You know, roaming around the place. Ooh, free love, man. No.
Love isn't free. It costs money. The only time I want to see you putting a flower in the barrel of a gun is when you have learned how to weaponize that pollen to fire out a 12-gauge and take someone's head off.
Because all these hippies out there, they say violence is never the answer. We gotta love each other. And I say to them, look through my telescope, and then they'll look through it and they'll inevitably see Planet X, which, yes, we haven't covered in the podcast right yet, but they will see Planet X hurtling towards the Earth, starships in tow with blasters ready to take out our planet at a moment's notice. Yeah. We need to arm against the intergalactic enemy.
You turn to her and go, look, Summer, you're going to put a flower in the barrel of that f***ing ray gun? Hell no, it doesn't have a barrel. It uses crystals. Good luck. You're going to put a daisy chain on that guy's head? He didn't even have a neck. Just floats above his body. Huh? What are you going to do now, Daisy? Or Summer, whatever the f***ing name is.
It's your own kid.
I come back after 20 years to my three kids talking about Planet X. What are you going to do, kids? Huh? Your old man's back. Planet X is coming. You little hippie assholes.
They're like, we regret inviting you to Christmas this year.
You leaving was actually, we realize now, the best thing you could have done. You wanted to keep us safe and we didn't realize you were the danger.
Mom was right. You're a crazy person. Alien Grays from Planet X land and they come out and they're wearing flower necklaces and they're like, peace, brother. You're like, oh, this.
Peace among worlds. That's bullshit. That is bullshit, bro. We gotta be fighting. Walk over to the leader of the alien army, put a telescope up to his eye. See that? That's that's Planet Y. That dude is coming down to get you. You're gonna put your space flowers in the barrel of that laser gun? They come down. You guys into the peace stuff? We're into that stuff. Yeah, cool. Oh, you gotta be shitting me, man. Who's your leader? Someone bring me a telescope.
There's not even one nuke between all you pussies. What kind of planets are you?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, as humans, we have to deal with a lot day to day. Sometimes you can feel like your social battery is drained.
Not just my social battery, my regular battery.
Why do you have a regular battery?
I'm not a robot or anything. I'm definitely human.
Right. And as humans, it's important that we understand ourselves so that we can build a social life that works for us.
Yes. I love sharing human memories with my human friends.
So the way you're speaking makes me think that you definitely are a robot.
I'm not. I love all human things. Food, oil.
Okay, so the second thing was already weird.
Huh?
Kit might be a robot, but humans aren't. We need to look after ourselves, and one way to do that is through therapy. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
I live for thousands of years, so
okay,
my schedule is very flexible.
Fantastic. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife.
Affirmative.
Yeah, this researcher, Duncan, he examined the hair of Jeff, cross-analyzed it with the hair of Mona the sheepdog, and wrote back, "Your sample on examination is absolutely identical with the alleged mongoose hairs."
That's not what you want to hear.
"They all came from the same animal, the dog, and not from any mongoose." This Duncan guy had just flipped the script. Maybe Jeff the mongoose, stay with me here, stole some dog hair to f*** the scientists.
That's a stretch.
Or maybe something even darker is afoot. Maybe there is no mongoose. Maybe he never existed. The mongoose is a cover-up for a haunted dog. This dog has framed an innocent mongoose. Maybe even a non-existent mongoose. It's f***ed up.
Did you ever think that maybe the family have made this up?
Hmm?
And they are submitting dog hair to scientists?
What?
When people show up, they're saying, "Jeff isn't appearing, he's on vacation."
What would be the possible reason for doing that?
The sad thing is, I have no idea.
No, because this is a humble farming family from the Isle of Man. Jim, Margaret, and Voiry are saints. Pillars of their community.
Look, I don't want to, you know, diss the Isle of Man. I don't know how many bowling alleys it has, how many Odeon cinemas it has, how many freaking cocktail bars it has. I don't know what there is to do there on a weekend. Maybe all you can do is make up paranormal stories and tell them to your friends and neighbors.
How very dare you? Sure, the Isle of Man has absolutely none of those things. Yes, it's boring as shit. There's absolutely nothing to do. It's unbelievably backwards. They didn't even have electricity. It was really boring. I cannot stress that enough.
Right, right.
But these people are honorable. They would never lie. Why would they lie?
How do you know that?
I don't. But I've got something better than knowledge. Better than conviction.
Evidence?
Heart.
That's not
and
how
I
we
trust
you,
people.
That's not usually how we wrap up the
Maybe
podcast.
Maybe you're a cynical, you know, jaded guy.
We don't end the podcast by going, "That's all the research." Heart. There's usually evidence and a conclusion.
Fine. Well, there's more where that came from. A silver bullet, if you will. So this was a pretty tense conversation when Jim got back to the house and had to confront Jeff. You can imagine.
The dog?
No. The mongoose.
Right. In the walls.
Jim.
The ghost mongoose in the walls.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously. Jeff turns the keys, opens up the door to his own house. You know, all the lights are off, but he can hear scuttling around.
Of course.
The
you said there wasn't electricity, so.
I'm really not appreciating this. You're actually getting in the way of the storytelling, so just keep it to yourself for a little bit. Okay. Hear scuttling around the house. Hey, Jeff. So, yeah. So, Duncan actually thought that your hair came from the dog. Weird, I know, weird.
What? He should not think. He should know. He damn well does not know what I am.
At this point, you can only imagine the thoughts going through Jeff's mind. He's a king whose power was waning, a prophet that no one believed in. He had been embarrassed and disgraced in his own home. How could he recover from this? He had to prove his existence to the world once and for all. Throughout this investigation, he had obviously been asked many times to be photographed. The Irvings, journalists, and investigators all asking, "Why won't you show yourself?" Well, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. He turned to Voiry and said,
"These photos, they will be taken on the gate up the road."
Oh my god.
And so they were. Voiry took photo after photo. The shots that would finally put months of speculation to rest. And right here in the podcast, I can show you these photos right now.
Oh my god. Jeff the mongoose and his giant doll hands.
Brace yourself, mother.
What is that?
It's
sorry,
a paranormal mongoose.
What is that?
pretty dark, I know.
I can't even speculate what that is.
His hands are massive.
It's so, if you've got the chance to take photos, why would you not make sure that they're in focus? Half of them, he's so camera shy, he's hiding behind a post. Like, he really doesn't want to be there.
I'm cutting them a little slack because it's the 30s, but they are a little opaque.
Very opaque. In one of them, he looks like a doll. Another one, it just looks like a boulder he's placed on there. Third one looks like a potato.
It could well be, I'll be honest.
You know what? But fair play for bringing some actual physical evidence to this podcast. That's a rarity on this show, and I appreciate that, brother.
We've had paw prints, hair samples examined by goddamn naturalists and the you know people who work at the Natural History Museum, and now photographs of the beast.
Evidence provided by certified Reginalds.
Needless to say, Jeff faded into obscurity after this. No one, frankly, was won over by this scant evidence. It was widely assumed to be a hoax.
Fair.
Sadly, Jim Irving died in 1945, and the family had to sell up the house. But much less than fame and fortune befalling this humble farming family, the farm now had the reputation of being haunted and sold at a loss, actually.
Wow, I forgot this was back in the days where that would actually impact the sales and pricing of a house.
Yeah, it was kind of a gamble going public with this whole haunted mongoose thing.
Yeah, because nowadays you look at things like Skinwalker Ranch.
Right.
You know, a property being sold for millions
yeah.
because of its fame and publicity regarding yeah. the paranormal endeavors that take place. But back in these days, you are basically saying that your property is a cesspit of haunted shenanigans. And it's no true. One wants to live on a cesspit.
Especially on these small communities. I mean, I've heard stories within my lifetime in Ireland, in farming communities of people that are wildly superstitious and, you know, won't cut down fairy bushes or things like that. But it eventually found one buyer, a Leslie Graham, an actor in the 40s. And in a shocking and fast turn of events, he claimed to have shot and killed Jeff.
Oh, Jesus, that was quick.
But when he provided a corpse for journalists, it seemed to be a regular mongoose. Large, black and white. Nothing like previously described. Voyrie herself broke the silence about it and claimed that that was not Jeff at all.
Wait, were mongoose native to the Isle of Man?
I think not. But we did hear, I believe in the last episode, that there was at least one farmer who had imported them for some reason.
Right. Insane.
Maybe it was like a pet or pest control or something. Even back in the 30s, it's like kind of every animal is somewhere in every country.
Yeah.
You know?
You want a panther? Get a panther. It's easy.
Is that what's growling? Is that what I'm hearing? Growling?
A couple
of
them.
This is a new addition to the house.
Yep.
You really should have brought that up with the other housemates.
I heard the movie was good. Thought I'd get my own.
Well, Black Panther?
Black Panther. I got three of them.
So you didn't watch Black Panther to know that it's nothing really about panthers?
I didn't have to watch it. It was a 5-star movie. 5 stars, 3 panthers. Too short. They wouldn't let me have any more. The flat's quite small.
All I knew was I wanted to create my own Wakanda. So you have seen the movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about. This is my first panther, Chadwick.
Insane.
Second, Michael B. Jordan.
And in 1970... Fate magazine, which I've never heard of before, but sounds extremely intense, tracked down Voyrie herself and interviewed her about everything that happened. She was reluctant to talk, but did say, quote, "Yes, there was a little animal who talked and did all those other things. He said he was a mongoose and we should all call him Jeff, but I do wish he had let us alone."
Okay, so she's sticking with the story.
Apparently.
Okay, I admire that.
I put it to you, was Jeff a paranormal sprite or just
an extra, extra clever mongoose?
Can I say neither? You've only given me two options, but I feel like there is a world of other choices. I believe that Jeff was a creature invented by this family who didn't exist. When the BBC showed up for evidence, they couldn't provide it. When they wanted proof of his paw prints, they were inconclusive, or that of a dog's, The hair was that of the dog. It was DNA tested to prove that. There was no evidence. I think the family might have gone a little cabin feverish on the Isle of Man due to lack of Odeon cinemas and bowling alleys, as I said. So I think it's edging towards a no for me this week, but I want to hear what you have to say, Kit.
Wow, that was actually a pretty brutal takedown of the last two episodes.
Yeah, just suplexed them straight into the grave.
I really shouldn't have pre-recorded. I spent all of yesterday pre-recording the yes, double yes ending to this. I actually called up Voiri's living relatives and...
Super inappropriate.
And said...
Regardless of the answer.
It's a yes from us.
Maybe more inappropriate if it was a yes.
They didn't know what I was talking about. They were kind of...
You just phoned up and said, it's a yes.
Yeah. I thought they would know who we were, but...
Didn't know.
I think it's problematic that no one saw the mongoose.
You're really easing into this, no.
Even in 1970, Voiri didn't even say outright that she had seen him.
Right.
She said, he said he was a mongoose... And he asked we should call him Jeff. She didn't even say she'd seen him.
Okay.
Mongoose can't talk. It's another thing.
Another con.
Right.
On little tick on the con list.
Yeah. Yeah, no one saw him. Mongoose can't talk. Hair was, yeah, absolutely not.
Tick on the old, no.
The evidence was lies, definitely. That's definitely true. Investigators couldn't find anything to do with it.
You're beating around the bush after saying evidence was lies. I don't think there's any other way to go from that sentence onwards.
I just can't bring myself to come down a no after, frankly, years of research.
Not mine, granted.
I mean, minutes of research on my behalf. I don't think we have enough evidence to say that this is a yes on the podcast today. But as always, we do have to come down on a hard and fast conclusion. And it sounds like today, both of us think that in the case of Jeff, the extra clever mongoose from the Isle of Man, it is a double no. Jesus, I mean, no one saw that coming.
I know.
What a shocker second part to this series.
I was so on board for the first half.
This case came so goddamn close to the wire with its reams of evidence and hairpin twists that I'm sure you guys out in the paranormal nation have plenty of your own ideas about whether this one was true or false.
Yeah.
I know we've kind of flipped the script and said it's not real, but we'd love to hear what you think too. You can always email in your own opinions to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. If you've enjoyed it, as always, hit us up on the socials. You can catch us on Twitter @thisparalife, on facebook.com/thisparanormallife, the Facebook group This Paranormal Life Secret Society. It is a secret though, so absolutely keep it on the down low.
It is the only place on Facebook that is free from the prying eyes of Zuckerberg himself.
That's right.
He's infiltrated every other group except ours. So, but because people don't talk about it, so tell all of your friends, get them involved, and keep it on the DL.
It drives him crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a busy guy, he's a billionaire. But the one thing that he lies awake at night thinking about is that he can't get access to our little group.
Yeah, because I'll be damned if I let that little hippie asshole join our civilization.
The show notes to this episode and every episode that we cover on This Paranormal Life, those notes are available on patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
You want to see those pictures of Jeff? You want to see the DNA prints and all of the conclusions that the scientists came to? We have the reports. We have the photographs, people. It's right here and it's available for as little money as $2, $3. What is it?
$2.
$2. That's a steal.
We need to up the price.
Yeah, $20,000.
This is classified shit. Patreon isn't just for show notes. We actually have other stuff on there. You can get bonus episodes if you just can't get enough paranormal tales, as well as merchandise and other things. We don't run ads on the podcast, so it is the best and only way to support This Paranormal Life. We just dropped a bonus episode the other day. Here's a clip of what one sounds like.
My son was killed by a mountain lion.
Mm.
Load up the chopper, boys. And they're all out there because this time it's personal.
I know, and as he's like remembering back his son, you're just hearing the flashback in his head, just
Oh, gee, Dad, are you sure it's okay to be here in the zoo with this sirloin steak in my back pocket?
It's nutritious, Billy. Eat it up. It's gonna make you grow big and strong.
Okay, Dad, but we're so close to the lion's den.
Oh, those lions are vegetarians. They're not worried about
it. Looks like one of them's really hungry, Dad.
Yeah, probably for a piece of lettuce.
Dad! He's getting close!
They're scared of eye contact. Just stare him out, Billy. Just stare him out.
I'm in his mouth!
That's right, just play dead.
Him remembering telling his son to play dead?
I don't know where I got that information from. It couldn't have been more wrong.
And as always, at the end of every episode, we like to take the time to thank out those who have supported us on Patreon thus far. So here we are. Let's go. Thank you to Jody Rewa.
Jody, I know your secret, Cody. Listen up to this.
That was thank you for the Patreon money in mine and Cody's secret language called Language of the Brothers of Love.
Jody actually just IM'd me right here on Patreon and said I didn't catch a word of that. So,
oh wait, what's his second name?
Rewa.
Never heard of him.
Oh.
I was thinking of a different
Cody.
I was thinking of Cody.
Oh, like not a nickname. Their name is actually just Cody.
Yeah, that Cody. Makes sense. Codemaker, Codebreaker. This guy, though, he seems like a swell dude. Thank you for supporting us on the Patreon.
Thank you, too. Chloe George.
Chloe, gotta run fast, can't go slowy. When those cryptids are coming after you like a bullet in the night. When the beast of Blade and Burrow is nibbling on your heels. All I know in my head is I gotta be one step ahead of you to survive. And what you should be thinking is you gotta be one step ahead of me. You know, if we're both running away from the beast and you start shivving my sides to get me to slow down, mad respect. That's the law of the jungle. I accept my fate.
What, shivving people?
Exactly. If a lion comes at me, shiv him. Law of the jungle.
Mad respect.
The lion's like, fair dues, brother. Here's my cubs. Throwing cubs at me. Guess what? Shivved them.
What? The lion's like, do you know what? Even bigger respect, brother. For being a cold-hearted king of the jungle.
So thank you, Chloe, so much for supporting the Patreon. I hope you are enjoying all your bonus content.
Thank you also to Rob Gray.
That's the first thing I do on an alien planet. Rob the Grays. They got that space swag. We're talking ray guns. We're talking space crystals. We are talking the cure for goddamn
Pernus. Also known as cash. I think we covered it in a previous show notes about the Hope Diamond that, you know, the stuff that aliens use to just goddamn pave the streets, you know, they use diamonds, 24 karat gold, the kind of stuff that would make actually a pretty penny back on Earth. So fill your boots, Rob.
Exactly.
Thank you also to Catherine Eyre. Thanks, Catherine Eyre. Thanks also to Catherine Fire, Catherine Wind, Catherine Water, Catherine Earth.
And all the guardians of planet Earth.
Presumably all your sisters or some shit.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciated. Thank you also to Keir Nathan.
Nathan, the man who's always erasing. That's right. Anytime I catch him, you know, trying to shred his documents. Because we're talking about a high-level agent in the MIBs. We're talking top tier Nathan is.
Like, he knows how to use a shredder. Like...
Yeah. And we're not talking about like a human shredder because he's top tier at the MIBs. He's got alien shredders. Mm-hmm. That shreds the pages down into a wormhole that shoots them out into the sun. Yeah. So this asshole's got his tracks covered. All I'm going to say is, Nathan, as soon as I find out how to get to the sun, I'm going to get all those little scraps of paper and you're going down, buddy. I'm going to WikiLeak all of it. So sleep well at night. You know, little goddamn space bed. Because I'm coming for you, Nathan.
To the
also,
sun?
Thank you for the Patreon money.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, he's erased my entire life, it looks like. Holy
Jesus.
Shit. My God, my entire identity stolen.
It wasn't that good, though, so I guess clean slate, right? That's pretty good.
Harsh but fair. Thank you to Redmond.
That's the choice we're faced with every day when we wake up.
Do we want to take the Redmond or the Bloomond? Do you want to see how deep the rabbit hole goes? I don't remember which one is the weird one.
The Redmond is the weird one.
Wouldn't that be super embarrassing if like Morpheus was like, you have a choice, the red pill or the blue pill? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're thinking for so long that you're like, fuck man, I'm so sorry. Which one does which again? Like, you don't want to have to ask Morpheus, yeah. Can you explain the pills again? I forgot.
Because then he's just like, you truly aren't the chosen one. No,
I want to come with my life. Shit, I want to come with you. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'll take the red one. Wow, you're going to take the red one? No, the blue one then, the blue one. Oh, you're going to take the blue one? I don't know which one's the wood one. Just let me eat the mirror.
You want to take a one? Oh, what a loser.
I had six reds for breakfast. So thank
you,
Redmond.
Barely even feel them anymore.
So, thank you, Redmond, for contributing to the Patreon. Arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Sammy Hornsby.
Shouldn't have eaten this ice.
Wow, eating ice in the middle of a podcast?
Sorry.
Professional
I didn't
much?
Know we were on.
We've been on for over an hour.
What? I thought this was small talk.
I thought this was warm up at the top of the sode.
You're going to want to listen back to this because a lot of ice eating basically nonstop for the last hour.
That's how I get warmed up.
By cooling down. Sammy Hornsby. Sometimes in life you got to grab the Sam by the horns, B, and wrestle it into submission.
Nice.
Thanks, man. Nonsensical, but hey, last one of the day. Sammy Horns, the little demon that he is going to get what's left. The crumbs of the improv. Sammy, thank you so much for contributing to the This Paranormal Life Patreon. Thank you so much to everyone who has contributed to This Paranormal Life Patreon. If you are yet to take that nosedive into the cement ocean, please... You know, consider it. There is some awesome bonus content out there, and it helps us keep making the show, put more money into it for equipment and, you know, online costs. A lot of online costs. We're into something called gambling. William Hill, mostly William Hill.
Paddy Power,
Sky Bets.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff. We're deep in the hole. So, and going under. Yeah. So please jump on.
We're not
jump
good
on that.
At it, I would say.
Absolutely not.
But we are paying. With the Patreon funds, we're able to pay very top-tier gamblers to teach us, at great expense, how to gamble effectively.
What's left is pennies.
Right.
And we lose those in the bet.
Yeah.
So, bad teachers, bad bets. But not our money. That's the great part. So, keep on giving. And I think one day soon, we're going to hit the goddamn jackpot.
Big. And guess what? You guys are shareholders in that success. And actually, someone hit us up this week saying that we actually missed their shout out a little while back.
The nerve of them.
So I apologize. So
I don't.
Whilst we are getting to everyone, and we think we're hitting everyone, if you do really think you've been missed out, let us know
Keep
in a
it to
little
yourself.
Message. No, let us know. And I'll be sure to shout you out. Rory might not. Hard to say.
Snitches get stitches.
Wow, he's really digging his heels in about this. I don't know why.
We're losing patrons by the number.
Oh, don't be petty.
Come on, don't be a snitch.
So I hope you enjoyed this, frankly, two-parter episode of This Paranormal Life. We will be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.